brothers and sisters in India. And but we come today to hear from the Lord, and you know that today is a very special day. A lot going on in our nation today. A lot going on in the world, as you think about the world and what's taking place today. But I want to share some scripture with you this morning. In Ephesians chapter number 5 today. And I'd like for us to kind of focus on this passage of scripture just for the time that we have today. And I want to honor the time. I understand that. But we have seen in the book of Ephesians how the Christian is to live. This is a letter Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus to encourage them in their faith. And you know, you and I need encouragement in our faith every day. And we need to be an encouragement to others. And that's what the Lord is doing in and through us as a body of believers. Not only what we're doing in our local church and Vacation Bible School or witnessing at the store or whatever, but God has blessed us to be able to support missionaries and mission work around the world. And that's just a small portion of that, working with the India pastors and their first graduation, and some of the ladies in the graduation going to be counselors and all, and encourage the men. But God is working, and he's working through according to the things of his word and how his word works in our life. And this is one of the things I want us to look at today in Ephesians chapter 5. We're looking this morning. We talked about the wives a couple of weeks back. We talked about last Sunday, of course, being Father's Day. We acknowledge the fathers and some of the text that was used in Paul's writing to in Ephesians regarding children and how the parent and the father is to be the head of the home and that. But today I want us to look at the portion of Scripture dealing with marriage. And in Ephesians 5, in verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are many members of his body, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bone." It says in verse 31, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now, we look at this portion of Scripture and a couple of things. Number one, there is a perfect marriage. Then there can be a perfect marriage, and the example of that is demonstrated by Christ and the church. But he said in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." When we think about that context of the husband and the wife, we're talking about how the man is to be, of course, we've seen, the head of the home. He's responsible for his home. The woman is to submit herself, as we've seen in verse 22 and following, to the authority of the husband. Not that he's a dominating person, but this is how God structures marriage. And this is set according to the standard of Christ in the church. And this is what he said. So the husband is to love the wife, even as Christ loved the church. And the question is, how much did he love the church? Well, he died for the church. Christ died on the cross for all of mankind that will receive him. And once a person is born again, they apply that, if you would, blood that he shed to their life. and their sins are forgiven by faith. They don't see that, but in faith we can see what he did according to the word of God, and we can see his love for us. Think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son, and his son gave his life that we might have eternal life. And if we take that in faith and we apply the work of Calvary, the atoning death of Christ, and the blood that was shed to our life, our sins are forgiven and put under the blood, and we see how much he loves us. And in that, now the relationship is there for the husband and the wife to love the wife even as Christ loved the church. Can all men do that is the question someone may ask, and that's impossible without the love of God. See, this thing of marriage was created in heaven where God took, he put Adam to sleep and he took a rib from the side of Adam and he created Eve or woman, and now the two become one. That's one flesh. And this same principle is seen in what we're talking about, the church, where Christ is the head of the church and he's the savior of the body, it says in verse 23, just as the husband is the head of the wife. So when we think about this perfect marriage and you think about the husband and the wife in a spiritual realm where the husband is saved, the woman is saved, and this is what we're saying, can two live together unless they be agreed? And it's impossible. But coming together in Christ as a man born again, a lady born again, and seeing the love of Christ in salvation, again, we have to see the love of Christ in him willing to die for our sins. Just to know that with a head knowledge and not experience, trust in Christ in your heart and taking the free gift of eternal life, then we see the love of Christ. The Holy Spirit brings that into reality when a person realizes I'm lost without Christ. I may know about him, but I have to believe him in faith, something that you can't see, but according to the word of God, and again, putting God's word above his name, he does, and we take his word as saying that Christ died for our sins, and by receiving the free gift of eternal life, then we can have salvation. And then the Holy Spirit indwells the believer at this point of salvation. The Holy Spirit enters into the believer, and now this person is born again. They have a new heart, a heart for the things of God. And the husband is going to love the wife with this type of love. It's an agape love. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's not just a feel-good emotion. Christ agape'd the church and gave himself for it. He was willing to die, and he did die for the church. A man that loves his wife according to the scriptures of God is going to be willing to give himself for his wife. And why wouldn't a woman reverence that or submit to that type of a husband? This is what we need in our world today. The world has attacked the home, and we see where the marriage doesn't last as it should, and the reason is why? Because we see an imbalance of the things of God. People may know of the Lord, but they don't know him in a personal way. They've never been truly born again. And then are they walking in the light of his word? See, this, what we find is that the Word of God through the Holy Spirit of God has an effect on this marriage. Again, thinking about those couple who have been married above 65 years, we celebrated it with them just Wednesday night, was a week ago, was the day, 65 years. And if I were to ask, I don't have any reason to doubt that you're closer together now than you have ever been. See, the love grows. Love grows. We've got older people here that have been married, some above 65 years. And that love grows. And this is how it does with Christ. We love the Lord because he first loved us. We come to faith in Jesus Christ. And then that love of God begins to work and to stir our hearts. The Holy Spirit shows us in the Word of God who we are and how much He cares for us, how we should live, and this is what the letter's about. We're to walk as light. We're to walk circumspectly, he says in this letter. That means to be upright. You and I are to live a life that's pleasing to God, and we're to demonstrate that. And by the way, the Christian home and the Christian marriage is an example of what Christ is looking for the world to see. And I praise the Lord for those of that I have the opportunity to pastor that have a long relationship. And we're praying, God, help all of us to love our spouses. So this is what he says. A husband is to love the wife, even as Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Now, the sanctifying and the cleansing of this with the washing of the water by the word. I want to take a moment to explain how this works. When we come to Jesus Christ as a lost sinner, by the way, you can't be saved unless you're lost. And you need to understand that you're lost, you're apart from God unless you've been born again. And Jesus died for that so that you could be saved and be born again. But you have to realize that there's nothing that you can do to justify a holy God. You're lost without Christ. He did the work. We take that, what he did in faith, believe that, and take him at his word. We believe in our heart, and we trust the work of the Lord, and thereby we're saved. So then he begins the process of sanctifying. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now the bride is a body that's being put together. The bride is the church. We're not talking about Israel. Israel was God's people. We know that Israel, they are God's people today in the Middle East. We look at the nation of Israel. These are God's people. These are Abraham and his descendants. But you and I, Gentiles in this world, we were included in God's plan. Israel is seen in Isaiah and Jeremiah as the bride of God, the bride of Yahweh. But now we're talking about the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is the church. The church is the body that's being built up of born-again believers. This building, this body is growing. And I've said before, one day the body is going to be complete, and he's going to call us out. But now that we're saved, he is continually working in us, in your life and my life. You say, my sins are forgiven. Yes, they are. I'm eternal secure. Yes, that's true in the work of Christ. But yet, I'm not there yet. We're not perfect. We're not how we are going to be one day. So right now, as the bride of Christ, each one of us are being sanctified, being set apart. We're getting and becoming more like Christ. We should be each and every day. How do we do that? Well, we do that by reading his word. We do that by prayer. We do that by walking in line with the things of God, by walking with the Holy Spirit, allowing him to guide and make the decisions that we make. How often do we pray about things? We call on the Lord sometimes when we get in a tight and say, God, can you help me with this? But we ought to be talking with him every day. We ought to say, okay, Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I conduct myself today? And what would you prefer that I do that would bring you the most honor and glory? And see, we find that he wants us to walk this way. He wants us to look this way. He wants us to talk this way. And the more we become like Christ, one day we'll be complete. Now, we are complete in our salvation. Don't misunderstand me. This is a hard thing for us sometimes to digest. We are complete and we're perfect in the sight of God. When you were saved, you were forgiven, past, present, and future sins. But we're not there yet. And that's the preaching of that grace today, is that grace abounds so that you're saved and you don't sin anymore. Well, either... Either the word of God is not true or that's true. And the word of God said, if we say we have no sin, we make him to be a liar. And the truth is not in us. So I can't stand before you today and say I have no sin. I can say that my sins have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. I can say that I'm in Christ, in my position, I'm perfect. But as of yet, I'm still walking through a sin-cursed world, and I'm getting filth on me as I go, just as you do. Someone cuts you off in traffic. Father, forgive me. We're learning how, and he's washing us. And this comes by the way of the washing of the Word of God. Now, having said that, when the body is complete, he's going to call us out. But the body, this whole work, again, I mentioned, I think, a couple of weeks back, and I want to add to this, that the body of the bride of Christ, when it's complete, he's going to call us home. But at the same time, this body is going to be where he wants it to be, in perfection. See, he's cleansing you and me. He's calling people to faith in foreign countries. He's calling people to faith in America to complete the body. But yet at the same time, he's washing and he's cleansing this body. And how is he doing it? He's doing it by the Word of God. That's what it says. He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The lutron, only used twice in the New Testament, in Greek word for washing, and it is the vessel that he's washing us in and with. In Titus chapter 3, Paul again writing says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing, the lutron of regeneration. See, he has washed us, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, you talk about thinking about washing. I'm going to wash my clothes. Who's really washing the clothes when you get through? You put them in the what? You put them in the washer. And you push the button. And you say, I washed my clothes. Who did the washing? The washer did the washing. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. And he does this washing, this is what he said, by the water of the Word. See, he takes the Word of God. This is where we are today, people. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. We read it, when it's preached, we hear it. The Holy Spirit, he begins to work. And he says, you need to stop doing that. And you say, well, everybody else is doing it. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. You need to stop. And you need to start doing this. You say, well, I've been praying about that. Well, stop praying and put some feet on your prayers. Start doing it. See, it's the washing of the Word. And what he's doing is he's preparing the bride. We're being washed. We got a few things on us. And the body is being put together, and the washing's taking place. And one of these days, he's going to have the bride prepared to be presented. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus is doing this that he might present it. He's washing through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. The church is not there yet. You say, well, positionally we are. Yes, we're all saved. We are secure in our faith, but we're not there. But one day we're going to be there, and that's why we need the water of the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to pray. We need to let the Spirit guide us, that he may take it and present it as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Now, thinking about what he's doing and what he has done and continues to do, and then he says, so ought men. Go back to verse 25. He said, husbands, love your wives even as so ought. That kind of fits together, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Even as Christ loved the church, so ought men to love their wives. Does Christ love the church? You know he does. Men should love their wives. They cherish them. As their own body, he goes on to say, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh. Not anyone with any sense. No man's ever been harmful to himself, if a sound mind. He's never hated his own flesh, but he cherisheth and careth for it. even as the Lord the church. When the church hurts, Christ hurts. The church today, you think about it, church today has been persecuted in many places. I could name off some, especially in India and certain areas. They've burned the buildings. They've torn down the church. There's those on the firing line in places where the name of Jesus is it's a death threat when it's used, and you find out that you're a Christian. And it hurts the Lord, but he loves and he cares for it. And the husband's going to do the same for the wife. This is what he said: no man ever hated his own flesh. And then he goes on to say, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and two shall be one flesh. You know, when, again, the marriage and the coming together of a man and woman is seen as the Lord in the church. Think about the sanctity of marriage. And today we've made it a mockery. But this is how God sees it. And this is how salvation works. Again, salvation, in a sense, has been mocked. You believe in Jesus, don't you? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, then you're saved. And then you go out and live like you did before you come to know him. You haven't come to know the Lord. When you see Christ on the cross and what he did, and you recognize he did that for you, and his love comes into your heart, you'll never forget that. You'll work, and this is what he's saying. This marriage will work according to the things of God. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Not a mystery of the marriage, it's Christ in the church. How could Christ love us, and yet he does? And yet he provides for us, and he takes care of us. And we can, by faith, know that our best days are ahead, folks. Our life is not going to be regulated by any force in this earth, in this world. Yes, we're under the attack of Satan, but one day he's going to be done away with and suppressed. Praise God for that. No more death, no more dying. No more separation. We're going to see our loved ones in Christ, and we're going to be with them forever. But as I said, right now, he's cleansing and preparing the church. That's an awesome thought when you think about it. He's putting the body together, and yet when he gets it just right, he's coming back. He's coming for us. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. How can we not reverence the Lord for what he's done? How can we not praise God? How can we not strive to live for Christ? It's not a 1 week, 1 hour out of 168 in a week that we come to hear from God and to know. It's every day. Think with me again. He's washing, he's cleansing his bride. And one day we're going to be like him. That's what he says in 1 John when the Lord comes. He says in 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. See, when you become a child of God, we're different from the world. He said, beloved, now are we, present tense, yes, we are, sons of God, we're the bride of Christ, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, perfect, and we shall see him as he is. See, he's perfecting this bride. He's getting it cleaned up. And when she gets to the place to where it's complete, and she's ready and all cleansed and prepared for the Lord, then he's going to take it and receive it unto himself. In the book of the Revelation, in chapter number 19, it says there in verse number 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. See, when everything's just right, it's all coming together. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. I'm talking, he's prepared a place. He's going to prepare a place, and he's preparing the bride. She's to be arrayed or clothed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. See, he's still cleansing away. He's sanctifying us. He's setting us apart. And one day we're going to be spotless. No wrinkles, no blemish. And the Lord's going to take it, the church, and present it to himself. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. One day he's going to call in the people to this marriage supper where Christ is united with the bride. And there we'll be forever in his presence. I don't know of anyone that I would not want to be there. I would that people in other nations would turn to Christ. It blesses my heart to see people who love the Lord. I may not even understand their language, but I can sense the Spirit of God, that we're all part of the body of Christ. And folks, we need to live a life that's pleasing to God as we think about that today. If you're not a part of the body of Christ, you've heard of Jesus Christ, but you've never experienced salvation. You've never trusted Christ. Today is the day of salvation. It's what the Scripture says. Today's the hour. No man knows what this day holds. This may be your last opportunity to come to know him. Let's stand together this morning. Bow our heads and hearts before the Lord. The Scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, what the Word says. The Word of God says, believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You believe in your heart today that Jesus died in your place on Calvary. He shed his blood so that you could have eternal life. You reach and take that gift of salvation in faith. Ask him to save you. He'll save you. You're here today and you're saved, and there's something in your life that's displeasing to the Lord. Don't be the one that's hindering the work of the Spirit or the Lord calling his bride out. Let's give ourselves to the Lord. Ask God to cleanse us. Continue to shape us and mold us, Heavenly Father, into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we might be a church, in a local church, that will shine bright in this world, right where we are, dear God, where you're using us, that others may come to know Christ, the hope of glory. And we'll thank you for what you do, in Jesus' name. Amen.